Oh, where the hell is my white wine spritzer? Shit. Oh, here it is. It's behind my computer.
Where it should always be.
Okay. I'm ready now.
Oh, thank God. All right, hold on. Let me find my tankard of gin.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany, your Diet Coke drinking, Korean skincare hoarding, leaving my house roughly twice a week max friend.
And I'm Kathleen, your ocean swimming, mini golf playing, fish taco eating friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I'm talking about how I've discovered that I have freaking dead butt syndrome. Have you heard of this?
Never.
DBS? Well, I'm a sufferer. So I want to talk about how my butt's really dead. I have gluteus amnesia.
Okay.
How many steps do we actually need a day? Like, you know, they say 10K, but that's a fallacy, Bethany.
Yeah, I've heard that someone just made that up and we all believed it.
Totally false. So that is on my agenda this week. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about creepy children.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You know how last week we talked about the Babysitter's Club?
Uh-huh.
That was almost too wholesome for me. And so I had to overcorrect. I had to let the pendulum swing the other direction. And I'm talking about creepy children in films and literature, what the creepy child trope means, where it came from, and some pretty exciting examples. Plus, last night on Twitter, I reached out to parents and I said, tell me the creepiest thing your child has said, because these creepy children things never get old to me.
Yeah.
And so we have some fresh cuts of creepy things our listeners' children have said.
Would you have a baby if you can guarantee that it would come out being real creepy, only saying creepy things for the majority of its life?
I would think harder in the direction of having a child.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if that's where fertility engineering takes you? Do you want a normal child or would you like a creepy child for entertainment?
Yeah, it's not about choosing like what your child looks like or their brain. It's just about choosing whether or not they're a giant creep or not. Kathleen, there's a person behind you.
Yes.
Where are you?
So that's my friend Kristen behind me. I'm on vacation today. At the last second, my friend Kristen and I were like, you know what? Let's hit the beach. And so we booked New Jersey's finest two-star motel in Ocean City, New Jersey.
What makes it two-star? A vending machine?
Yeah, there's some vending machine action. There's like some drive up to your door action. And there's some you have to bring your own beach towel action going on.
Right on.
But you know what? The price was right. It has a pool. We're a block away from the beach. And I can't even tell you. Across the street is a plant-based cafe. And then on the other side of the street is a place where you can rent bikes. I'm like, this place is perfect. Everything that I need.
This is great.
So I was laying on the beach all day. My shoulders are a little crispy. And I came back to the room to chat with you for the podcast.
I am giving you so much credit for still doing the podcast. Like, the fact that you're doing this means that you packed your microphone to go on vacation. And that's how I know that you're a trooper.
Well, you know what? When you go on vacation in a car, you can pack as much as you want. No one's going to judge you because it's in your damn car.
Yeah, no, it's true. Dennis and I really want to go to some Airbnb that has a farm attached.
Ooh.
Because you know how some Airbnbs, they like raise goats and then they let you play with their goats while you're living in their house.
Sounds dirty, but sure. Yeah.
You know. And so we found this amazing place that has goats and cows and like it just was amazing. And then we realized it was going to cost twice as much just because we would have to rent a car to get there. And so all of a sudden it went from being like $200 each to being like, it more than doubled it. It was like $800 each and it was suddenly not going to happen. So love your cars, everyone. If you have one, love it. Embrace it. Cherish it. Cherish your car and cherish your washing machine.
And your wife.
And you.
Hide your kids.
Hide your wife.
I have to tell you something.
What's up?
I had the best drink this morning at Starbucks.
What was it? Was there booze in it?
There was no booze in it. No.
There were no booze in it.
I didn't start boozing until 12. You know, I'm a lady. So
of course.
I had a cold brew, but then at Starbucks, you can request almond milk foam on top of your cold brew.
Oh.
And then you can request on top of that a special flavored foam. So I had cinnamon almond milk foam on top of my cold brew.
Now, how did you discover that this was a thing they would do?
My friend Kristen, who I'm traveling with, she told me about it, and her friend told her about it. And now I'm here to tell the world, you gotta walk into a Starbucks and order a cold brew with cinnamon almond milk foam. It's gonna change your life.
That's crazy. I would never even think about that. I don't tend to think about warm things mixed up with cool things, you know? And like to make a foam, it's you're foaming up, you're heating up the milk. So...
do you? Or can you just like aerate it?
Well, is it whipped cream or is it foam?
Oh, it's foam. It's like almond milk foam. Yeah. You just aerate it.
What do you mean by aerate it?
It's not whipped cream. You add air into it. Isn't that what aerate means?
Well, I mean, yeah, but you have to put it on the steamer stick and then like pull it down. So like you, it's steaming the milk and then you pull it down a little bit. So it goes. When I worked at Starbucks, we had two people who come in and they would want venti only foam. They basically just wanted venti cappuccinos.
What? They're paying for air at that point. Yeah. What's the point?
So we would have to foam up like pitchers and pitchers and pitchers of milk because they just wanted the foam. And so I got really good. You have to find that moment when the milk stops and you're hitting the top of the milk because that is where the foam begins. And it's like the heating process.
It's freaking art, but I had no idea. It's so complicated.
It's a lot of work.
You've opened my eyes on that.
But it's fun. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Can I give you a bed bug update?
Oh.
A bed update?
Please do.
I don't think we have bed bugs anymore. I found one in the shower and then I killed it and then I analyzed it. And I don't think it's a bed bug. I think it is just a regular bug. And I haven't seen anything else. No bites, no spots of blood. So I think we're good.
Maybe you just have beetles.
I think I just have other bugs.
You know, it's funny you say that because I went hiking not that long ago and I thought I found a tick in my hair. Ugh. Turns out it was just a beetle. Who do these bugs think they are disguising themselves as other bugs? F them.
How often when you go outside do you get ticks?
Not that often.
Because that's, I think, the thing besides just the weather that's keeping me inside is the fear of a tick, like latching on to my ankles.
No, even worse, Bethany. They like warm, moist places. So think armpits, vagina, and your nose. That's where they like it.
When I did summer stock, a girl there got a tick between her labia and her thigh.
Wow.
And none of us had the nerve or the understanding of how to get it out. So our art director had to come in and he was like a 40 something grizzled old man.
Oh, no.
So he had to come in and he was so uncomfortable. He was like this shy man who was he was like a gentleman. He just wanted to do art, you know, and like build things. And so he came in and he made her put a towel over everything. So he just saw like a teeny tiny square of skin and we were all crowded around screaming while this grizzled man in a flannel shirt is taking a tick with a tweezer out of her labia. And he was like so kind of like, I've talked before about how I was very lucky with the men I was surrounded by in college, like men who I just didn't even think could have taken advantage of me. They just didn't. He was one of them. He just was like, okay, show me the area. And then he just pulled the tick out. We all screamed.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Ticks love vaginas. They do.
Yeah, they're warm.
Warm, moist. Underneath my boobs would be a good place for a tick to be, like that sweaty, you know, under boob sweat area.
Ugh, summer's awful.
No, summer's the best. I had an ice cream cone last night with sprinkles, and then I found some sprinkles in my bed this morning, and it was so delightful.
You know, you can have ice cream cones in the winter, too. They're not summer exclusive.
No, they just don't taste as good unless your legs are bare and, you know, you have like a little bit of a burn. I'm so happy to be at the beach. My legs, they needed some color. My cheese sticks needed to be toasted.
What's it like to not be afraid of the sun?
Well, the sun makes you happy, gives you vitamin D. You get to like run in the surf of the ocean. It's pretty great.
Yeah. I was watching a movie this weekend and they were all just hanging out in a boat in the sun. And I was just thinking, gosh, it must be wonderful to not be afraid of it.
It is. It's wonderful. You could find an outfit, Bethany, where you're covered head to toe and then have fun in the sun.
But then you're hot. And like in this movie, they were all wearing shorts and t-shirts and they just looked so, you know, healthy and, you know, just bronzed and unconcerned. And I've never felt that. I don't know what that's like because as soon as I get in the sun, I imagine a burn and then a wrinkle and then never getting work in this industry again.
You should put that on your LinkedIn. I avoid the sun. I will be pale and wrinkle-free forever.
Yeah, I have two new parasols in the mail, so.
I don't doubt it. Have you turned on your Netflix recently?
Yes. The last thing I watched was, I think I watched Troop Zero and then one other thing, but I don't remember what it was. What about you?
Everyone is talking about, and I haven't seen it yet, the new Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams movie, Eurovision.
Is it Rachel McAdams or is it the woman from The Hangover?
Wait, I'll tell you right now. Eurovision. It's Rachel McAdams.
She looks so much like that other girl. Okay, ignore me. I've seen its icon. It looks so good.
So I started hearing whispers from my friends via text last night. And then I was like, okay, what the hell is everyone talking about? Because I notoriously do not like Will Ferrell. I don't think his movies are funny. Okay. I think he's kind of a hack. I'm like, eh, whatever. And I know everybody loves him and I'm going to get so much hate mail for saying that. But
it's okay.
Forbes.com and The Atlantic are both saying that Eurovision is Will Ferrell's best comedy since 2014.
Holy. Okay, so are you a fan of the Eurovision songwriting contest?
I didn't even know about this contest in Europe until last night when I was like, what the hell is Eurovision?
Okay, did you watch the movie?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Okay, so before you watch it, listen to an episode of the podcast called Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's from NPR.
Yeah, love them.
This is several years ago, so you're going to have to hit the Googs and figure out which episode it is. But like, they had recently televised in the U.S. the Eurovision contest. And so Pop Culture Happy Hour covered it. And it is such an amazing review of how crazy it is and how beloved it is. And I think it does a really good job of giving an intro for those of us who don't know a lot about it into that whole world. Because I feel like Celine Dion was in it one year and like, I think Ace of Base or ABBA.
Stop. Before they were famous?
I think so.
That's nuts. You know, my friend Kristen, who I'm down the shore with, she was saying that she has friends who live in Switzerland and they are not really TV people, but Eurovision is like the one thing that all of Europe is plugged into. Like, everybody watches it. And I'm like, why don't we know about this in America? Like, why isn't this a thing in America too?
There was a song like 2 years ago, I think, that came maybe three, whatever, maybe more. It was called like Thunder and Lightning, It's Getting Exciting. And it's such a good song and he didn't win. But the video is amazing. It's worth looking at because he's got this wall behind him and it looks like he's climbing these different cubes that are moving around this light show. And it's like thunder and lightning, it's getting exciting. Some dun 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 to show where you are. I think it's called I Am the Only One, or You're the Only One, or You're My Only One. Whatever. Thunder and lightning, it's getting
exciting. Lights up the skyline to show where you are. I'm dancing, Bethany. That's a bop.
It's so good.
If I've ever heard a bop before, that's a bop.
Will you let us know after you've watched it and tell us how good it is?
I most certainly will. And taste buds, if you've already seen us, send us an email and let us know what your thoughts on this were.
We'll get our spandex and our sequins and our hairspray ready to go.
Ooh, that makes it even more exciting. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
You know the shoe that goes with every single one of my summer dresses?
Are they your Rothy's?
They are my Rothy sneaker. They're just so versatile.
Rothy's are the perfect summertime shoe. We've been partners with them for a long time. The reason we love Rothy's is that not only are they crazy comfortable, they're machine washable, which is perfect if you have sweaty feet and you're tromping around in the summer. You can throw them into the washing machine and then let them air dry. You have a brand new pair of shoes.
And more than just sneakers, they've got flats and loafers in all different styles. And now they have sandals and bags.
Kathleen, I know you have the sneakers. I have the loafer in mocha. So it's like kind of this gray brown color and it matches everything I wear. I love them. The silhouette is beautiful and the color goes with everything.
Yeah. My sneakers are the slip-ons, the cream color. You know, my friend Kristen that I'm on vacation with right now, she liked them so much she bought them in white and black.
Look, if you're wondering, wait, are these the shoes and the bags that are made out of recycled water bottles? You are right. They are.
Ding, ding, ding.
Rothy's has kept over 50 million single-use plastic bottles out of landfills, and they've transformed them into their signature thread, which is then knit into beautiful, sustainable products. And because they knit the shoes into one piece, you don't have those seams that rub on your foot and give you calluses. There's no break-in period.
Oh, they're so dang comfortable. And with so many chic styles to choose from, there's a Rothy's shoe that's perfect for everyone and for any adventure.
Plus, Rothy's always come with free shipping and free returns. So check out all of the amazing shoes and bags that are available right now at Rothy's.com/taste.
That's Rothy's.com/taste. ROTHYS.com/taste.
Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to Rothys.com/taste today. Kathleen.
Yeah.
Tell me off the top of your head some creepy children from movies or TV or books you've read. They're everywhere. Can you think specifically of any just like creepy kids that have shown up?
Well, the one that everyone's going to say are the twins from The Shining in the hallway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a great one.
And then who's the one that always wets the bed in Home Alone?
I don't know.
Come on. You know, it's Kevin's cousin and he's actually his brother. It's Kieran McCulkin. Kieran Culkin.
Oh, yeah. Kieran Macaulay Culkin.
The Superior Culkin. Come on, what's his name in that movie? Hang on.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen him for years.
His name is Fuller. That's right. And so it's like, Fuller, I don't want to share a bed. I don't want to share a bed with Fuller. He always wets a bed. And then it's like Fuller. And he's like this little boy with Coke bottle glasses. And he's like holding a Pepsi or something. He gives a big smile. Like some kids with Coke bottle glasses are equal parts creepy and cute.
They're so cute. I also love that he was wearing Coke bottle glasses with a Pepsi. He's like straddling both worlds.
He's like, is this a commercial? Is this a movie? Pay me, Pepsi.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so creepy children. Here are some examples. From what I could tell, one of the first appearances of a creepy child was in the William March 1954 novel, The Bad Seed.
Ooh.
That book was later turned into a movie. And The Bad Seed follows this little girl, Rhoda. And it's about a mother and her realization that Rhoda is a murderer.
First of all, just laughing because a little girl named Rhoda is like...
I know.
Because my husband has an Aunt Rhoda and she's fabulous. And she's like always covered head to toe in like the most beautiful jewelry. But I just picture Rhodas as old ladies.
I mean, maybe when she was a little girl, she had blonde braids and she murdered a friend.
It's like one of those old timey names that just doesn't translate.
I know, okay. But you know what? If I had a creepy child, I'd name her Rhoda for sure.
So Rhoda's a murderer.
Yeah, so Rhoda's a murderer. So that's like a really early version. Some other examples. Like you said, the girls, the Grady girls in The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Torrance in The Shining is also a good example because he starts to, you know, speak in a creepy voice.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. The little children in The Children of the Corn.
Mm. I have never seen that. I need to watch that.
I don't think I've seen it either, but I've definitely just seen the pictures of all the creepy little children.
Yeah.
I think they're all blonde and they're all, yeah. They all have bangs.
Mm. Oh, The Sound of Music. They're all creepy. Sound of Music. All those Van Winkler children.
I don't think they're creepy. I think they're just wholesome.
What's it? No, they're creepy. Van Dutch, Van Trap. Von Trapp.
Van Helsing.
Yeah.
They all hunt vampires together. Speaking of the Culkins, Macaulay Culkin played one in The Good Son, opposite Elijah Wood.
Hmm.
The movie Orphan, which people have been talking about more about a year ago when that one girl was either a girl or a woman in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, I would say in the movie Hereditary, Charlie, the sister who makes clicking noises. She is definitely a creepy child.
That movie, Hereditary, keeps popping up in my, you should watch this, or like suggested movies. I need to watch it.
You need to watch it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really scary?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's going to visually leave you with things that you see in the night, in the dark.
You know what? Nothing can be scarier than what's going on in my head about my real life anyway, so.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. This is the time to watch it. Carol Ann, the little blonde girl in Poltergeist, who holds her hand up to the TV and then gets sucked inside. Creepy
love that.
Kid.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Iconic.
Damien in The Omen, Sadako in Ring, and then Ringu, and then Samara in The Ring, all kind of the same character.
Mary-Kate and Ashley in It Takes Two. So cool.
Again, I think they're just wholesome.
Nope.
But it is a fine line.
Mm-mm, yeah, fine line.
And then also, black-eyed children. These are an urban legend of supposed paranormal creatures. They first were written about concretely online in 1996. Texas reporter Brian Bethel wrote about two alleged encounters he had with black-eyed children. How much do you know about those, Kathleen? But
they're possessed by demons, right?
Basically, they have just fully black eyes. There's no whites. They show up usually in twos or threes. They're not dressed in normal contemporary clothing. They usually look like they're kind of either farm children or dressed from like the 50s.
Are they ghosts? Are they spirits? Or
that's a good question.
Are they possessed humans? Because, you know, you much like you can pray the gay away, maybe you can pray the black guys away from the demon kids.
It probably works just as well as praying the gay away.
Uh-huh.
It's not known, so they will just disappear. Just like vampires, they have to be invited into your home. But people who are around them have reportedly gotten incredibly ill or died. Mm. And they will, like, be at your door, get very angry when you don't let them in, but then they'll, like, just disappear. So,
yeah. If I birthed a child that had black eyes, mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. would Sheryl Sandberg the shit out of that situation and just lean into it. Like... Start a museum where people could come and, like, see my creepy child and, like, ask my creepy child questions.
And your creepy child would say awful things.
Awful things. And then when we were in public, I would, like, tell that creepy child to put on colored contacts so people wouldn't get freaked out. Like, if we were at the Stop and Shop or something.
Yeah. Yeah. She would have to, he or she would have to put in, like, those full eye contacts to cover up all the black.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one other that I hadn't heard about. Another example of a creepy child. This person is just basically taking that whole trope and running with it. She's called the Sacred Rihanna. She's an Indonesian magician. If you watch America's Got Talent, she was in America. She was on the 2018 season, but she also was on season, I believe, 2 of Asia's Got Talent. She was on Britain's Got Talent. And she is this woman, I think she's in her 20s, but she dresses like Samara in The Ring. And she never really talks unless she's talking because she has to give instructions. And she's very creepy.
I mean, it's definitely an act. There's no way. There's no way she's really like
Of course.
That.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's an act. She carries a doll around that's dressed like her. So it's really kind of leaning in.
I just typed in by accident to the Googs, sacrifice Brianna.
No, leave her alone. She's wonderful.
All of the musical Rihanna's videos came up. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about creepy children as a trope.
Mm.
So here's the reason that it's such an effective thing to have in your stories, your films, whatever. A creepy child is creepy because kids are supposed to be innocent and in need of our protection. And they usually have lots of questions. They always want to know what things are. They're not really sure what's going on. A creepy child is creepy because they're too knowing and they're very calm. And the fact that they don't need our protection and they do seem in total control of the situation makes us immediately uneasy from a very primal part of our brain.
Mm, I get it. Sort of like a virgin who doesn't need a man. She's like...
like a virgin who just gets around.
Like a virgin who is not interested in becoming a non-virgin. Like, freaks people out. Like, why don't you want to become a woman?
Yeah, that's true. They don't like it at all.
Nope.
This is also really interesting. There's an offshoot of the creepy child, which is the emotionless girl. And I got a lot of this from tvtropes.org. And I have all of my sources listed in the show notes. So the emotionless girl are characters like Wednesday Adams, Margot Tenenbaum.
Oh, Daria.
Daria. Lydia from Beetlejuice,
yeah.
Estella from Great Expectations, and even Elsa at the beginning of Frozen.
Bethany Watson from an Acquired Taste podcast.
Hello. I have many feelings, but I push them down. People especially expect little girls to be sweet and nurturing and like damsels in distress. So when girls are the ones who are being cold and emotionless, it's the opposite of what we've been led to expect. And women are expected to be hysterical, especially older films and projects. Women were always seen as super emotional and over the top hysterical.
Yeah.
And so having an emotionless girl is very, very off-putting.
Like Zooey Deschanel. She's always dead behind the eyes. You can't ever tell what she's thinking.
Yeah. They also mentioned Aubrey Plaza is a really good example of the emotionless girl.
Oh, she is. I mean, like that character that made her famous from Parks and Rec, that's really, yeah.
That's like all she plays.
Yeah, I know.
All she does. And it's great. It's working for her.
I bet she has a wider range. I feel bad. But let's put Aubrey Plaza in a movie about athletes. I don't know.
But it's just called Super Emotional Athletes. Dennis and I were talking last night about wanting to cast Megan Fox in something where she doesn't have to show her body at all. And she just gets to play, I don't know, a character with depth.
Okay, but I heard she's really terrible to work with.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she hasn't done a movie in a long time. I don't know. Yeah.
I know, but I also heard she didn't do a movie in a long time because she called out Michael Bay for basically, like, because he made her audition for Transformers by washing his car in her bikini. And she was like, young.
Oh.
So like,
I never heard that.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know how much of that is her being hard to work with versus her being retaliated against for calling out a really powerful dude. Hard to know. Hard to say.
We should do a deeper dive into this. This is very interesting.
Let's do a deeper dive. So there's also a really interesting point from a 2015 Vice article by Jessica Kalang. She says, young girls can't help but mature faster than young boys. Mm-hmm. And horror movies often play with the self-awareness that this maturity brings to young girls. So if you look at the movie The Exorcist, Regan McNeil gets possessed and she yells at a doctor to get his hands off her goddamn C. And then she says the C word, which I hate. And
cunt.
As a young girl,
cunt?
We don't want.
Is that what she
says? I hate that word.
Cunt?
I hate that word.
Really?
I hate it. We don't expect young girls to know words like that. But in the context of her possession, that mimics maturity in a really twisted way. And it forces us to look at the fact that young girls do have to mature faster than young boys. We're forced to like reckon with that fact.
You know, I don't like it when people call other people the C word, but a little girl in a creepy movie saying like, get your hands off my C, that's a very powerful moment.
Oh, yeah. No, it certainly does what it's aiming to do, which is like shock and make us think.
I mean, they say that one of the best ways if you're being attacked, like if there's a predator, like or somebody who's making you feel uneasy, act fucking crazy. Crazy.
I've heard that, too.
Mm-hmm. Or pretend like you're having a seizure. Either way.
I often think that if someone broke into my house at night, I would just go like and like try to look as big and scary as possible. But not cough, because that kind of ruins the effect.
Well, you know what? In the moment, your adrenaline would be pumping. I don't think you would cough. But you could turn that cough into like a creepy dance and like really scare the shit out of them.
And pretend that like I'm spewing corona all over them.
Yeah.
So there was a movie that came out in 2019 called The Prodigy, which starred Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those films about like a suburban family and there's something wrong with the kid. The director, Nicholas McCarthy, said, these movies never end well. All those movies end with the destruction of the parent. They're about the transformation you're forced into when you have a child. You have to accept that your life has vanished, or whatever version you thought you had of your world will be destroyed. And the writer of that movie said, it's almost controversial to say having a child could be a mistake or dangerous. He said, that's not something you can talk about. And so this kind of genre allows you to sort of hold up a mirror that makes people think about their own feelings. I think there's a wave of genre films that are doing that really well right now. And I would say we sort of fit into that universe.
Wow.
So films like this allow you to have that conversation about how scary having a child is, how you're essentially bringing a stranger into your world for the rest of your life.
And you don't know if that stranger's going to be a dick or not.
Exactly. You don't know if that stranger's going to be a dick or not.
Like, I would have a baby tomorrow if I can guarantee that that baby wasn't going to be an asshole.
But you can't.
Nope.
So you're stuck. And you also don't know if that baby's going to be ugly. And if you have an ugly baby, you still have to love that baby.
Bethany, oh my God, you can't say that out loud.
I can.
I mean,
because everyone's going to.
I mean, but it's true.
Because you know.
Yeah.
You know some parent has looked at their kid and been like, oh, shoot, this one's not going to be a looker. And you still love them. And they're still valuable.
Yeah.
And they're still a good person.
Like ugly cute. Like ugly cute dogs where you just you love the dog. And so you look past its ugliness.
I love an ugly cute
dog. You know
what?
I've had friends who've had some ugly babies, but they turned out to be like really adorable children. So there's always hope.
I do think that you get one. You either get to be a cute kid who grows into an ugly adult, or you get to be an ugly kid who grows into a really good looking adult. I mean, I think it all evens out in the end.
But I think like I'm a mediocre adult that's going to grow into like a really fabulous old lady. So there's still hope for me. Yeah.
You're going to be the hottest old lady. Okay. So lastly, I want to close it out with just some creepy ass things that people's kids have said. If you're ever sad in the night, this is what you should Google, because they're great. Mm-hmm. There's so many lists like this. Okay, so this is from Chris Chamboyo on Twitter. He said his child said absolutely nothing. I just woke up to her looking at me from the doorway. She remembers nothing. Tom Mayer said, when my son was 3, he told us, quote, they look in his window at night and one day they will take him away. We asked who would. He said, the aliens.
there's always a threat that the aliens are going to take you away. Whether you're an adult or a child, it's something that we should all be prepared for.
The good news is that they think that it goes down bloodlines. So if you have family members and ancestors who were taken by aliens, you're more likely to be taken by aliens.
Mm, like diabetes. Okay.
Exactly. MB Maynor said, when I asked my 10-year-old why he never used the upstairs bathroom near to his bedroom, he said, because sometimes someone behind me says, hey. Francine Lopez said, my 2-year-old son told the babysitter, there's a man sitting on the edge of my bed. That's when she texted me and asked me when I was coming home.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See, just the mere fact that you could have a child that is this creepy and this scary. I don't know, man. It reframes the conversation for me.
I hope I'm not the reason you don't have children, because you'd be a great mother.
Yeah, you might be, but thank you.
Okay. Kirsten said, when my son was quite young, he told me he was dead in the road, and next thing he knew, he was with us. This woman, Val Mom of Three, says, my 3-year-old son was telling my 12-year-old son at the time, we can't kill our parents. We're not strong enough yet.
Yet.
Tracy Vitale DNP said, when my daughter was 4, she said, mommy, there's a scarecrow in my room. He doesn't talk. He just watches me, but I'm not scared. 6 months later, she sees a picture of my uncle who died 14 years before she was born and says, look, mommy, that's the scarecrow in my room.
No.
The Alan O said, my 6-year-old is getting into one of my video games. The other day, he started attacking random people in the game and told me, they have what I want, and I have dark magic.
That is a military colonel, that kid, admiral. That guy, that kid is ready for to be in the army. He is. Or the Navy. They have what I want, and I'm going to take it. They have Saddam Hussein, and I'm going to take it.
And I have black magic. Jennifer Burgert said, my 8-year-old saw a giant ice chest in a sporting goods store and cryptically told me it looked big enough to bury a body in, which is accurate.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Ice chests, yeah, bodies. It's happened before, I'm sure.
Amy Belfour said, it was my neighbor's kid. She loved spending time at my house with my kids. One day we were taking a selfie, and she said in a low whispering voice, one day when my mom dies, you're going to be my new mom. She looked at me, then turned and smiled sweetly for the selfie.
No.
And lastly, Gloria says, my oldest said when he was 4, mommy, I don't like George. He's always sad. Who's George? My son said, he's the boy in the wall. He's white with no face. And his dad yells at him for turning the lights on.
Stop it. His dad is Satan. His dad is Satan.
She said she sold the house less than a year after that story.
So let's go back to the neighbor child story. If you were the neighbor and the neighbor child said that to you, would you tell the neighbor child's mother?
No.
I would.
Why? You're going to worry the mom.
Well, the mom deserves to know that her kid's a freaking weirdo.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe it's just, you know, kids like get ideas. There was one more. The woman said that her daughter said she knew how to snap necks. Like, how, you know, like, where do you... I don't know.
YouTube. These kids are watching too much YouTube.
Yeah, it's YouTube.
It's where it comes from. It starts off really innocent, like they're watching children unpackage toys. And then next thing you know, it's all about demon children and snapping people's necks and eating bodies and ice chests and the boy with no face in the wall.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's no real lesson from this except be aware of like why these children, you know, tropes are so creepy and so interesting. And there's usually, if there's a creepy kid, you know, there might be a reason they're there. They're like signifying a larger lesson or a larger theme that they're trying to communicate, and it's very easy and it's very interesting.
I have an idea for us. We're gonna be famous.
Let's do it.
People are gonna buy our art from all over the world, all over New York City. We should start putting in random public places statues of creepy children with their mouths partially open so we can see their sharpened triangle shaped teeth, and then just white eyes. Just white eyes.
Yes.
And then there a little bit of blood coming out of their mouth, dripping out of their mouth.
And like a little speaker inside their mouth. So if we feel like it, because we have an app that goes along with it too. We can like log into the app and log into a particular statue, and we can just like whisper things into it. And like the tourists will get real scared.
Yeah.
We can say things like, you're going to be paying four times the market value for that cocktail at TGI Fridays in Times Square.
Bethany.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's cleaning out their attics and their closets and their garages these days.
It's so true. We have all this time on our hands right now. That's why right now is a perfect time to get Legacy Box. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. Home videos and tapes and reel-to-reels, photos. Send them over to Legacy Box and they put them on a digital thumb drive or a DVD, or they put them in the cloud so you can share all of these memories that you haven't seen in forever. Who has a VCR? Who has a reel-to-reel? No one.
You know, it's sort of funny that you mentioned the VCR because, you know, my dad passed away a couple months ago and all of our holidays, like our home family videos, are on VHS tapes. And I did find a VCR in the basement, but it was filled with sawdust. Like, I think he was keeping it underneath his workbench. I was like, okay, obviously not going to put my precious family memories in this sawdust-filled VCR. I'm going to send them over to Legacy Box.
Yeah, I sent over some VHS. We had those mini VHS tapes when I was young, and I sent those to Legacy Box along with some photos. They sent them back in files that I could just forward to my family. So we got to see my grandparents again. They had both been, you know, passed away for years and years and years. I forgot what my grandma's voice sounded like. I got to hear her again. And because it's all done in the U.S. and they keep you updated every step of the way, you can trust them with these priceless family memories.
Legacy Box has also helped more than 850,000 families digitally preserve their past. So they've had a lot of practice at this.
To answer your question that you're probably thinking, yes, they also send you the original memories back.
It would be really cool if they could turn grandma into a hologram.
Maybe that's the next step. That's what they're working on.
Yep.
So get started future-proofing your memories today so you can gather the family and begin the trip down memory lane.
Plus, for a limited time, take 50% off of Legacy Box with their Cyber Summer Sale in July.
Get started for just $34.99. Order today to lock in this incredible offer and then send in when you're ready.
All you have to do is go to legacybox.com/taste and save 50%. That's 50 while supplies last. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
My butt has amnesia.
Now, explain this to me.
Okay. I think I have something called dead butt syndrome.
Is this real or did you make this up?
No, it's a real thing. You can Google it. It happens when you spend a long period of time sitting on your butt, when you're in a car, or on a couch, at your desk, and it's called gluteal amnesia. I was like, man, you know, my back is hurting. My hips are hurting. I typed it into the Googs and dead butt syndrome came up. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. This is what I freaking have. Because think about it. You use your gluteus muscles to stabilize. Basically, your butt and your core, it stabilizes your whole body. Mm-hmm. Specifically, your gluteus muscles, they stabilize your pelvis area. And I've been having a lot of pain in my lower back where basically I have to roll myself out of bed in the morning. It's so bad.
Oh, you poor thing.
And I'm like, I'm old, but I'm not that old. Like, damn.
And you just get it from sitting all the time?
Yes, from sitting all the time. I am not moving enough. And you said before in your opener to the pod today that you only leave your apartment twice a week or three times.
No,
three times a week.
Not three. One to two. People in my neighborhood still aren't wearing masks. And yeah. I don't feel good. And plus, it's just too hot.
It is very hot. I was reading that when you're not moving around enough, there's not enough blood flow to the muscles in your butt. And so your butt basically loses muscle because it's not getting enough nutrients. Like the way muscles get nutrients is when you move them, your blood brings nutrients and oxygen to your muscles. And your body can sometimes overcompensate when your gluteus muscles get amnesia. And so you could even have pain in places like your neck and your ankle because you have dead butt syndrome.
That's nuts. So how do you get rid of it? Movement, I guess, huh?
One way that people who do physical therapy on you, I guess, what are they called? Physical therapists.
Yep.
One way that physical therapists test to see if you have dead butt syndrome is with a test called the Trendelenburg test. And basically, it's a physical exam in which a person lifts one leg in front of them while standing. And if your pelvis dips down on the side of your body where your leg is lifted, that indicates weakness in the gluteus medius on the opposite side. And that's how you can tell.
It dips down. Oh, that's interesting.
Also, another way to tell is if you have dead butt syndrome is the shape of your lower spine. Like, it should be an S shape. Mm-hmm. but if it's like more pronounced, it means that your hip flexors are really tight and you probably have dead gluteus muscles.
Dude, my hip flexors are so tight all the time. Like, just,
yeah,
they're always hurting. It's something that I'm working on, but they've always been tight. There are some people who can sit like Britney Spears on the cover of her debut album One More Time, but I can't, because my hip flexors don't let my legs move that way.
Was that really the name of her album? It wasn't Baby One More Time. It was just One More Time.
I think it was Baby Ellipses One More Time.
It's sort of funny to have a debut album called One More Time, because there's never been a previous time. This is your first
album. That's a good point. It's like when the Backstreet Boys came out with Backstreet's Back, but they hadn't really gone anywhere. So,
yeah. Oh, I never thought about that before. Yeah. Where are you back from, Backstreet Boys?
I was
Boys?
Very confused.
Backstreet's Back. All right. Okay. Well, you're here. Yeah. And first time you're here.
So,
yeah. So one of the best ways that you can get rid of dead butt syndrome is by making sure that you get your steps in. So I was like, all right, Googs, like...
That's not the fun way. I was hoping it was going to be a way that was just like, you know, bounce on it, you know, wiggle it, you know, touch it, poke it, bop it, slap it.
Poke it. Twist it. Such a good game.
Jiggle it. Just a little bit.
Wiggle. So other than, you know, like the typical butt exercises, and there's like all these YouTube videos, basically if you want to work out your butt, you just type in how to get a big butt into YouTube and all these like really great resources come up. But one of the best ways, and I really truly don't do this, is getting in your steps. There was a day last week where I had 1500 steps. That's it for the whole day, Bethany. That's it.
Yeah, I think you're probably doing better than a lot of us anyway. You know, that feels like a lot of steps for when you haven't left your house. So try not to beat yourself up.
So I Googled creative ways to get your steps in, because just plain going outside and walking is just, so boring.
Yeah.
So boring.
Yeah.
One of the suggestions online, and I'm going to include all the links to where I found these suggestions, was doing your chores twice. What the fuck? Doing your chores twice.
What?
Like, if you have to go down to the basement to put your laundry in, like, go down to the basement, do a fake put your laundry in, and then actually go back upstairs, get your laundry, and bring it back down.
Okay, no, because just because I want to get my steps in doesn't mean I have all the time in the world to waste. Like, if I need to do my laundry, I need to do my laundry and other things. So that's no. Yeah. Next, please. Thank you, next.
Can you imagine how long it would take to make dinner if you did a practice walk to the fridge every time you need to get an ingredient
stupid.
Out?
Whoever wrote that, like, no offense, but that's dumb.
Or a standing desk. Could you really operate on a daily basis with a standing desk?
I think I could if it was a treadmill standing desk.
Oh, like Sandra Bullock in that movie that she's in with Ryan something something?
Yeah, probably. Ryan Reynolds?
Yes, that's it. I love that one.
Really? Does she have a treadmill desk in that?
I'm pretty sure she does. Oh, no.
Those are pretty cool.
Or is it Kate Hudson in that movie that she's with Anne Hathaway where there's Bride Wars.
Yeah, I think it's that one because I've never seen Bride Wars.
Oh, Bride Wars is good, Bethany. What are you waiting for?
I don't, you know, whatever. But I think I could, because otherwise I'd be like shifting my weight. It'd be like I don't know what to do with my feet.
Yeah.
So could you have a standing desk?
No, I would end up just picking up my laptop and sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Yeah, there's also that.
Like, dancing to one song at a time, like putting on one song, promising yourself that you'll dance to it for like a full minute or 3 minutes or however long the song is. I could do that. That seems pretty fun.
Yeah, it's amazing how long like 3.5 minutes feels when you're dancing hard. It's like, God, this song goes on forever. And it's like cups. We used to put cups on when we just needed to make up like a small amount of time between commercials, and we had to have like just the smallest thing. It was either another commercial or cups.
What movie is that from? The singing girls.
Pitch Perfect?
Yes, Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Another suggestion is to play with your children or pets, but then you have to have children. And it's like, wah, wah.
No, thank you. Wah, next. Wah. No, what's another one?
No, thank you. Next. Or pets. I could see it, but like my cats are not going to run after me. I guess if you have a dog is a great way to get more steps in. But then you have to take care of a dog, you know.
Which, like, you know, I mean, that's fine. That's good. I would do that.
Have you ever seen one of those videos of the fitness instructors or like fitness people on Instagram where they're like, look how easy it is to do push-ups, and they're doing push-ups over their baby. And every time they like get close to the floor where the baby is, they like kiss the baby and then they push back up and they're like, look how fun it is.
Those make me so anxious, because I know that when I do push-ups, at some point I eventually just collapse onto my stomach.
Yeah.
And that baby's not safe.
It's dangerous. I always think the same thing. They're going to slip on that baby one day.
No, don't slip on your baby.
Another suggestion was run. Lol.
No. That's adorable. Anyone who's having a hard time getting their steps in is not going to be like, oh, I forgot running is a good option.
In my notes, I wrote run dash lols. Like,
yeah, no, no. Thank
also,
you.
Another trick that I found online that I really think is for serial killers only is to march in place while you're watching TV or to do jumping jacks during the commercials.
You know what? That actually I could do.
Really?
I would march in place. Yeah, I could march in place because that to me feels like a very definitive action that has like, there is a purpose. I am doing this. I'm not walking downstairs to do my laundry twice, once for fakesies, one for realsies. I'm just marching. This I can do. I can do.
Are you obligated to watch the Golden Girls if you march in place while you're watching TV?
Yes. Yes.
Or they say march in place while you're on a phone call.
Great. That's great. I can do that. I also like to walk and pace while I'm playing Best Fiends. And like, yes, again, they are a partner, but not right now. Like, this is not an ad for Best Fiends. I just pace while I'm playing Best Fiends. So then at least I know I'm getting my steps in.
You play games on your phone and pace?
Yeah, just pace around my apartment.
My mind is blown right now because I'm thinking about trying to do that. And I don't know if I have the brain power to do that.
Because you're already looking down at your phone so you can see if you're about to hit something. Because the floor is, you know, you're watching the floor.
All right. I get
it. It's just like, you don't have to do it. It's just a thing. It's better than doing a push-up over your baby.
I just think you're smarter than I am. And I just don't think that I'm capable of doing that. This is something I could really get down with. Taking a walk after dinner, like on a nightly basis. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Helps the food digest.
The one thing that I hate that a lot of lists said is set an hourly alarm. Because my Fitbit already does this. And every time the alarm goes off at the 50-minute mark of every hour, I'm like, fuck you, Fitbit. I'm not getting up from where I am right now. I'm very comfortable on this couch.
Okay. Now, I feel like you're internalizing some sort of message that you think the Fitbit is giving you that it's not actually giving you.
It's calling me lazy.
Yeah. See, that's where it's coming. I don't think it is. I think it's just saying like, hey, this would be a good time to stretch.
No, that's not what it's saying. You know what it's saying? It's saying that we've been tracking your steps all hour and you haven't even gotten 250 steps this hour. Get your ass up and move for the next 10 minutes. And I'm like, you know what? I'm the boss of myself. You don't tell me what to do. Fuck you, Fitbit.
Okay, so that's a lot of dialogue that just went on between you and a little electronic device. So I think that maybe if we go back and reframe that whole thing, I think that maybe it's just saying like, hey, you must be so sick of like sitting. Maybe you just want to stretch your back. Why don't you get up? Go get some juice and then come sit down. Maybe it's not being an a-hole. Maybe it's being supportive and loving.
No, I see your point. I see your point. Yeah.
What if you renamed your Fitbit like Jerry? And Jerry didn't have a bad word to say.
You know what? I love that idea. And I'm really disappointed that you can't rename more things in like electronic things like Echo or Amazon Alexa. Mm-hmm. You can call her Echo, Alexa, or computer. And that's it.
I asked her to call me, I think, Goddess, and she wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's okay. Look, who owns who?
Yeah, I own you, bitch.
And she locked all my doors and started my oven and told me to put my head inside. And I was like, where is this coming from?
That didn't happen. That absolutely did not happen.
You can't prove that it didn't happen. You can't prove a negative.
Another suggestion that I found that I really, really love, but it doesn't work when you're working from home, but make a game of it with your coworkers. And my first full-time job out of college, my coworkers and I, probably about 3 o'clock every day, we used to take the steps up to the roof, but then we just like discovered that the roof was so lovely we would just hang out up there and not get any of our work done. And our bosses, we once were all coming back and they're like, where were you? And we're like, the roof. We're on the roof. And they're like, we're not paying for you guys to hang out on the fucking roof. Like, sit down, do your work.
There was one time, I think I've talked about this before, when I worked at the bank, and we would take our 10-minute breaks to walk over to the Marshalls that was, like, really close by.
Yeah.
And then we would just, like, stop in and shop really quickly, and all of a sudden we realized that we were just shopping during work, and, like, our 10 had turned into a 30, and all of a sudden we were just shopping.
Oh, my God. Yep. Essentially, and, you know, you're getting two things done at once. Get paid to do your grocery shopping.
Yeah.
This is for serial killers. Pace while you're brushing your teeth.
See, No, I like that too. I'm a little worried that all of the things I like you say are for serial killers.
No, it's for serial. It's like patting your belly and rubbing your head, or rubbing your belly and patting your head. Can't do two things at once. Too complicated.
Yeah, you can.
No.
Of course you can.
No.
It's good for your brain. Build some more neuron connections.
Okay. All right. Sure. Get off at the bus stop or the train stop one stop early.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah. Park far away. Okay. That kind of stuff.
And last but not least, I don't know how well this would go over. A website suggested, go on a date, and ask that person for it to be a non-sitting date.
Okay. I mean, yes.
Can you imagine? You show up to the bar, this guy that you, like, you've met on Tinder, and he's like, Bethany, you're so beautiful, but I have one thing to ask you. Can this be a non-sitting date?
I would be down with that. I would hope that I had been given ample warning so that, you know, because if I'm wearing heels and no sunscreen, yeah. First of all, I would never not wear sunscreen. But like, if I'm not properly prepared, no. But if you're like, let's do it. Like, I've heard that before, too, with if you have like a business meeting with someone, you can ask, hey, can we, you know, we do this while we walk around the park. I love that. I think that's great.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Then you're both getting your steps in.
I guess. Or what if you ask your boss to take a walk with you around the park while you have your business meeting and then they fire you and you're like, shit, I'm in the park.
Good point. I mean, I don't know. I think that that's a good option depending on who you're with. Probably not if you're doing like a really like an onboarding interview to be a potential CIA, you know, operative. Probably not.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, talking to like an associate about a fundraising thing, yeah, you know, like, take a walk around the lake.
So now that we've talked about all the suggestions, let's talk about how getting 10,000 steps is a total fallacy. It's a fallacy, Bethany.
So how many am I supposed to get and who came up with 10,000 and why do we believe them?
In the 1960s, there was a Japanese company selling a pedometer. And as a marketing ploy, they're like, get 10,000 steps a day, buy our pedometer. And the United States adopted this as like
the
marker that you need to hit for health.
What?
Totally fake. Totally fake.
Oh, that's insane.
And it's good to be active. A cursory search on Google tells you that 5,000 to 7,499 steps is low active, which is more than I get on most days.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm personally insulted that that's low active. 12,000 steps or higher is considered high active. But there's an article on WebMD. And, okay, I'm going to trust WebMD. I trust them with everything.
Yeah. They tell you that everything you have is probably cancer.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. They say that there was a study done and it was women 72 or older. They all wore pedometers and it was an experiment to see who would live longer. Mm-hmm. Just getting 4,400 steps a day will reduce your premature mortality rate by 41%. And you know what? 41% is better than 0%. So 4,400 is like the magic number you need to hit every day so you don't die prematurely.
I mean, look, that's a good number to hit. And it's more than most of us are doing right now. I haven't even looked at my average steps in a really long time because I don't want to even feel insecure about it. But I guarantee I am not getting that many every day.
There's a bunch of taste buds that are on Fitbit with me and we do like weekly competitions. And every time there's someone who's way ahead of me, I always make the joke in like the group chat for the like competition that week. Hey, so-and-so, are you a professional runner? And then no one ever responds to me. No one ever responds to me. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. You have 24,000 steps in one day during COVID. What the fuck are you doing?
You know what? They could be doing what my mom's friend did, which is left her Fitbit in her clothes while it went through the dryer. And she got like 13 flights of steps.
That's what I'm going to start doing.
You should.
I'm going to beat all those people. And they're going to be like, hey, Kathleen, are you a professional runner?
And you won't say a word.
Mm-mm, nope, but my washing machine is. I'm about to blow your mind.
Blow it.
My friend Kristen, who I'm on vacation with right now, DTS, down the shore. Would you hear that motorcycle outside? That guy.
I did.
He's got a big peen.
Yeah, I bet it's huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So big, he needs to compensate with loud motorcycle noises.
Kristen's teeth are looking amazing. They're looking so white. Do you know what she uses? It's going to blow your mind.
It's not that charcoal stuff, is it?
Nope. Put on your helmet because your head's going to explode. Get ready.
What is it?
Coconut oil and turmeric mixed together.
Turmeric?
That's it.
Doesn't it dye her teeth orange?
Nope. But you do need a separate toothbrush. She's going to make me a little pot and I'm going to do like progressive photos.
Wait, you need a different toothbrush
to do this turmeric stuff.
Because it'll dye the toothbrush orange.
It'll dye the toothbrush orange, yeah.
Why doesn't it dye your teeth orange?
It makes your teeth so white. It's insane.
Huh.
I know. I'm like, we were just talking about whitening products, and I'm excited to try this because my teeth are very sensitive.
Okay, I'm going to look this up.
Mm-hmm.
Why does turmeric whiten teeth? It auto-filled.
Yeah.
According to some dentists, public figures, and celebrities, turmeric helps whiten teeth. It's a completely natural product. Right. Okay. It lacks. Yes. Explain to me how it works, though, dummy.
Voodoo.
Black
magic.
Okay. It lacks the side effects of commercial teeth whiteners. All of the current evidence is anecdotal. they won't say, they don't say, healthline.com doesn't tell me why it works. They're just saying, hey, it might work.
It does. I'm telling you. You should see her smile.
Could you add baking soda to that?
I'm sure you could if you wanted to.
Because sometimes when I've forgotten to pick up toothpaste, I will dampen my brush and then just shove it in a box of baking soda and then brush my teeth.
Oh.
My teeth have never felt cleaner than when I just use baking soda.
Yeah, but that sounds abrasive and you're brushing off all of your enamel.
Okay, I don't want to look too deeply into it. I just am like... You know, it works. It's like a good if you're on the road and you forgot your toothpaste, but you remembered a box of baking soda.
You could also eat an apple. That cleans your teeth, too.
Yes. But baking soda.
If you ever like forget to brush your teeth, go find an apple.
Maybe you sprinkle an apple with some baking soda and we all win. Put some baking
also,
soda. Hashtag baking soda.
Hashtag. Here's another thing that's going to blow your mind.
Please.
Learned about this on our Acquired Taste Facebook fan page. Do you know that people, when they're doing laundry, toss in the cap for the liquid detergent when they're doing laundry? And that's like a thing that a lot of people do. Have you ever heard of this?
Why?
Because it cleans the cap.
Okay, that's what I've done that when I was at the end of the bottle. And so I wanted to get every little spare amount I could. It's a good idea.
I mean, but like I rinse my cap in the stream, but then people toss it in and do their laundry with the cap.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. It's not going to hurt anything.
And more people on the Facebook fan page did it than people that didn't do it. Like this, I've never heard this before.
I wonder if it's something that they were taught by their families and it was handed down generation to generation, or if everyone just came to it, you know, separately.
Tradition.
I mean, it makes sense.
Laundry. Tradition.
Tradition. Tradition. So, Kathleen, now that you are on vacation, what else are you going to be doing this week? How long are you on vacation?
Just 4 nights.
Okay.
4 quick nights at the finest 2-star motel in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Does it have room service?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't say it does. And gentle listener, before when we weren't recording, I was telling Bethany that I brought my own pillowcase and like we disinfected the room when we came in and we're not having maid service come in to make up our beds because we're kind of paranoid.
Yeah. No, you're being smart about it because, you know, numbers are going back up again. I saw a graph today and it was like all of it. I'm going to pull it up right now. It was COVID numbers in all these different countries and they had all like gone a little up and then all the way down. And then the U.S. had like gone up and then down and then all the way up.
Yep.
Because America.
And Europe just announced today that Americans are not allowed to come into Europe for the time being.
Yeah. Yeah. According to my neighborhood, Corona's over. Yeah. Europe, it peaked in May and then went or peaked, it looks like between April and May and then is down. Japan peaked ever so slightly between April and May. And Canada peaked kind of a little bit, but, you know, April-ish. The U.S. peaked in April, went down, and now we're peaking higher than we were ever before.
Mm-hmm. Like high school. We're peaking, and then it's – hopefully it's all downhill from there, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly.
So if you're going to take a European vacation this summer, I have something else for you to do that's as equally as fun and engaging and full of culture.
Sure.
That is Christmas in July. The marathon has begun on Hallmark.
Ooh, are there any new programs that they've added to their lineup?
I'm not sure. I can't speak to that in an educated way, but I can say that starting on June 29th, which is today, at nighttime, like they're going to air 3 heartfelt Yuletide tales every weeknight.
It's a really good idea. I think my guess, if I had to guess, is that there's probably not new ones because I think they're shooting them.
Yeah.
Normally they would be shooting them now-ish, I think.
Oh, I bet COVID's going to affect that. There's going to be less Hallmark movies this year at Christmas time.
Yeah. I don't think we've really seen quite the full effects of what it's done to the entertainment industry. I think we're going to start seeing like major films that were supposed to come out soon have been pushed back and pushed back. Like Tenet is a big one they're talking about. Have you seen the trailer for Tenet?
No.
It's this crazy, amazing film. It's basically, it kind of reminded me of, what's that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where he...
Titanic.
He goes into your mind and he...
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Nope. He goes into your mind and he...
Growing Pains.
Yeah. It's the one that also has Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it. And he infests your brain with his thoughts and makes you do things.
The Investment Bureau.
Nope. No. He goes into your brain and he spins a top. And if the top doesn't ever fall, then he's... Michelle Williams is in it. Then he's still... He's Inception. It's Inception. He's an Inception. It's like Inception.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, it's called Tenet. It was supposed to come out and they keep pushing it back because coronavirus.
Oh, I saw the best movie this weekend, I have to tell you.
Was it Tenet?
No, it wasn't. It was about...
Was it Inception?
It was from Blumhouse. Or,
ooh.
Are you familiar with that company?
Of course.
They do a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
Okay. It was about an app that tells you when you're going to die.
I think I saw the trailer for this when it was first coming out.
It's called Countdown.
Okay.
And then you download it and then the app counts down into when you're going to die.
And you did see it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did see it. It was amazing.
Did you like it?
Oh, so good. It was so good. The app is... I don't want to give too much away, but it's really good. And it's not that scary. Everyone should watch it. It's a good family film.
I'm going to look and see if there really is a Countdown app. There is.
And so like all these coworkers are like, ha, 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 let's download this Countdown app. How funny is it? And then all these people are like, look, I'm going to live until I'm 95. Look, I'm going to live until I'm 87. And then this one girl, the main character of the movie, she's also the actress, Elizabeth Lail. She's from You.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Penn Badgley.
Yeah.
She looks at her phone and the app is like, you have 2 days.
Oh, no. There is actually a Countdown app. It has like a RAM on it, right?
Yes. Stop it. Okay,
but you see?
We got to download it right now.
I don't know if I want to. I know it's not real, but I still don't know if I want to.
No, Bethany, stop it. We're downloading it right now.
Okay, hold on.
Count.
No, but like, what if it's not sanctioned and it has all my information now?
Bethany, your information's already out there. You have a podcast and an Instagram. Your information's out there. I'm sorry. So is your DNA, even if you don't want to believe it.
No, I don't.
I'm downloading it right now. How long do you think I'm going to live?
Okay, I think you have another 50 years.
Well, yeah, I have another 50 years until this app freaking downloads at this 2-star motel because the internet's a little spotty.
I'm not using it. I'm afraid. I already have my credit card number stolen once today. I don't want to do it a second time.
Wait, your credit card got stolen? How?
I don't know, but I went on my account and it was like porn.
Okay, Bethany.
They bought porn with my account and it wasn't me because I don't buy porn. Who has to buy porn?
You're embarrassed that you bought porn.
No,
it's okay. It's a natural
thing. I didn't
thing.
Buy porn.
It's
no,
a natural
thing. No, I didn't
thing.
Buy porn. Who pays $29.95 a month for porn?
A lot of people do. I mean, I pay more than that for lots of other ridiculous things like subscriptions to, I don't know.
Look, if I was embarrassed about subscribing for porn, I wouldn't call my credit card company and tell them that there were fraudulent charges. I would just keep paying for porn.
Okay.
How long do you have left to live?
I'm telling you right now, it's loading. I just agreed to the user agreement. 13 years and 24 days.
Oh, no. What?
Are you kidding?
It doesn't even like ask you questions about your smoking and stuff like that.
Bethany, I don't smoke.
No, I know, but that should
sex.
Add,
I do have risky sex.
Wait, fine. Okay, I'm going to get it. Hold on.
Can you die from gonorrhea?
I think if it's untreated. I mean, syphilis for sure goes to your brain. Okay, hold on. I'm downloading it. God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And it just knows, huh?
It just knows. There's a okay, demon and it just knows.
Hold on. Yes, you can send me notifications. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yes, I accept my fate. This is so stupid. I hope it's not real.
If I'm going to die in 13 years, that means I better have a kid tomorrow. So at least they're a teenager when I die and they get to know me a little bit.
You're doing better than I am. 12 years.
I'm going to live longer than you. That's insane.
I mean, great.
You don't even go outside.
I know. Well, I'm deleting the app now. Delete app. Delete app.
No, that's the whole thing. You can't delete it.
Well, I just did.
Oh.
And okay. It's gone.
Or is it gone? I think the movie was really more about like reading your user agreements because nobody does that.
No, I just breezed through. I brozed right through it and I hit I accept. Mm-hmm. But this was a bad choice.
You accepted your fate.
Kathleen?
Yes.
What did you learn this week?
I learned that it's an excellent idea to not decide to buy stocks at 11 o'clock at night when you've been drinking.
What stock did you buy?
Plural, Bethany, plural.
What stocks did you buy?
So we used to do commercials for the Robinhood app,
yeah.
Which is a great app. It's fantastic if you do your research.
Yeah.
Not if you've had a glass of Chardonnay and are like, let me buy some stocks. I'm into financial things.
So Kathleen, I'll ask again. What stocks did you buy?
All things that I really like.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Fitbit, Peloton, Chewy. I bought some Chewy.
That's great.
I bought some Beyond Meat for the plant-based folk.
I don't know if that's a bad idea. I mean, that's one piece of advice is like buy stocks in the stuff that you use anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I tried to buy Facebook because, you know, I'm on. Facebook was too expensive.
Do you remember how much it was a share in through the fog of alcohol?
$126 a share or something.
I think I'm going to buy Google and Apple stock.
I thought about buying Microsoft, but I don't know if like it's going to get some backlash now that they're not selling facial recognition stuff to the cops. Like, I don't know if that's a pro or con. I need to do more research is what the moral of the story is, because I'm already down $60.
Okay. Well, you know what? I hope for you that the stocks pay off. I would say don't sell them anytime soon. Mm. You know, just let it ride. You still have 13 years left to live. So, you know, that's a good amount of time to have your shares kind of increase in value.
Yeah. I wish I could buy stock in water. Drinking water is never going to go out of style.
Right.
But I buy stock in air.
I don't think you can.
I buy stock in sunscreen. Sunscreen is never going to go out of style.
No, I don't think so. And especially if you're me, I never stop wearing it.
Is sunscreen going public? You think it's going? You think sunscreen?
I think there's more than just one. I don't think you can just buy sunscreen. I think there's brands. I think you know. I don't mean to ruin it all for you, but I think that you do have to like figure out a little bit closer to like a brand.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that if you're trying to like hit a goal with your body, you need to find a way to quantify what your goal is. And here's an example. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get stronger in my arms, and I'm always going to not see a change physically because we all beat ourselves up about our bodies. However, over the weekend, I was able to, you know, when you're doing bridge, you go on your back and then you go up into a bridge. When you do it properly, it's really hard to get up into a bridge. This was the first time I was able to use my arms to push myself up into a bridge, which I hadn't been able to do before.
That's awesome.
And so like, that's how I know I'm getting stronger in my arms. But if I was just looking at my arms, I wouldn't know it. And so to keep from getting really bummed, give yourself like a quantifiable goal. And I wouldn't say a number. I would say like, I can do this thing I couldn't do before. I think that's going to keep you a little bit more aware of how far you're moving forward. That's my suggestion.
You should get a baby so you can do push-ups over that baby.
No. That just seems like such a bad idea. What if you sneeze, you know? You sneeze, you trip, you fall, you land. Just don't put a baby under. I don't think you should put a baby under most things. Mm-mm. I think that's my piece of advice.
That's not how the Instagram influencers do it, Bethany. They do push-ups over their babies.
Just don't. I don't think it's a good idea. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
Sorry, hang on. I got to chew this cucumber quick.
We'll just wait. Are we interrupting your eating time? Is our podcast, is our way of paying rent interrupting your eating time?
I'm so sorry. I'm so hungry. I just got hungry and then I ate this cucumber and I forgot we were podcasting. I thought I was just having a conversation with a friend.
Where can people find you on social media?
I am at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. You can also find our podcast on social media.
Yes. If you want to follow this podcast on Twitter, you can find us at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There are some incredible people in there.
You can send us an email at AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to send us some snail mail, our P.O. Box is an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can also phone call us. Leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of every episode, 917-994-0353.
And if you want to get some extra steps in, call us while you're marching in place. A no-sit phone call.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Our podcast is edited by the fabulous Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Instagram at @lit_fuck and on Twitter at @shargar.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
That's everything.
Oh, yeah. Wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. And our moms are so proud when we get 5 stars.
So proud, you guys. Have a wonderful week, Kathleen. Have a wonderful time at the beach. Get some of that sunlight for me.
Thank you. Do you want to come down and visit, Bethany?
No, thank you. Okay.
All right, taste buds. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. This is Darian from Nashville. I'm actually the one that wrote that review and was totally shocked to hear Bethany read it on last week's episode. It was actually pretty crazy timing because I was on my way to the first day of a new job and was casually having an introvert-induced anxiety attack, totally had me in tears in a good stress relieving way. Very thankful for both of you and the Taste Bud community. I look forward to the new episode every week. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. My name is Karen. I sent you an email today, and I just want to know I love you guys. But I really wanted to address the use of the Karen meme, as my name is Karen, and it's really affecting me in a very negative way. So I sent you an email because I noticed that you used it on this last week's episode. And so I put some more information in my email, and I hope you get it. You can use my first name, which is Karen. Thanks so much. Love you guys. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, ladies. It's Caitlin, longtime listener and friend to the pod. It is Thursday, July 2nd at 12:20, and it is my 30th birthday today. And I got to celebrate it with some amazing taste buds who decided to go on Zoom with me and count down and take a shot with me when midnight hit. So I just wanted to give them a shout out, Sarah, Sylvia, Rose, Krista, Ellie, and Susan. Thank you guys so much. I say over and over how grateful I am for this podcast, and you guys have always made me feel less alone in the world. I hope people can relate to that with this podcast and also have a group like this. And yeah, but I just wanted to share my first 20 minutes with you guys. Still have a tequila on my bed. Maybe I'll take another shot for myself.
Hi, ladies. It's Gracie in Arkansas. I stumbled because I don't know how to say this, besides the fact that I've seen that a lot of people, I've read about it on the Facebook page. I hear it in the calls. You know, a lot of us feel very alone and left out. And we're all, not all of us, but a lot of us are very introverted in nature. And I feel invisible a lot of times. And I think I'm pretty damn funny. I also think I'm witty, as I laugh at my own joke or own comment. But a lot of times I feel invisible. Like I joined Facebook fan group, but I'm not really on Facebook that much because I've had to make that choice. And I feel like I just feel like I don't really belong, but I've made myself stay there because I want to be able to see what's happening, right? Anyways, I say all this to say that every time you have played one of my messages at the end of a podcast has made me feel like I've been seen and that what I say matters and that people listen. And it's just really weird to say it like that. But thank you. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for playing me, and just thank you. So I've called in multiple times, and you guys have just been really awesome in the fact that you chose to play them. So again, thank you for letting me feel like I'm seen. Have a great day.